Hey, this is your host, Isaac. I forgot a couple quick things before we get into the show, because I forgot to mention this was a Patreon bonus episode today. I'm giving you the, we're doing the Dark Path Book Club this month. It's on and popping, and this is a Patreon bonus episode, and I wanted to personally thank you for your support. I appreciate you guys. I know a lot of you signed up when I was doing the Alien book promo to get your name in the special thanks, and most of you stuck around, and I appreciate that very much. I just wanted you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. I know I get a lot of messages and comments and people saying very nice things to me, and I read all of them, and it's great, and I love it, and I do appreciate it. I don't have time to respond to every one of them because I've got a lot of research to do, right? We're talking about I'm researching Raised by Wolves right now as we speak, so hopefully this show will tide you over a little bit, give me a little bit more time to do a little more research. But yeah, thank you again for your support on Patreon. It's much appreciated at all tiers, at any length of time. Like I always tell you, like, you got to take care of your home and your bills. So like, by all means, like, I get it. If people got to step away, they got to lower their tiers. I am 100% cool with all of that. I appreciate your support at any level and at any length of time. I love you guys very much. And let's get into the show.
Rockefeller met with President Clinton's science advisor, Jack Gibbons, at the White House and persuaded him to take action. Rockefeller was then asked to pick a case that the White House should attempt to declassify. He chose the 1947 Roswell incident, noting, quote, "Many are convinced that Roswell marks the beginning of government secrecy about UFOs."
Today we're going to talk about a wide variety of catch-ups, some updates. Talk about the 2020 BBMAs, the Billboard Music Awards. Little hint, there's no symbolism to be found. Devoid of symbolism. We're going to talk about Cardi B's Illuminati confirm accusations. The fly on the debates, Mike Pence's fly. Talk about the symbolism behind that and how that ties into the Illuminati agenda. We're talking about Elon Musk, you know, because these nerds, they're the rulers, the masters of the universe now, okay? And then big old alien news updates. Who died? Someone died. Neil deGrasse Tyson is talking about aliens. Trump's flexing on aliens. A great bookmark to the Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind show we recently did. NASA's back in action. The Phenomenon. Have you seen The Phenomenon? We're going to talk about that today, too. That documentary about UFOs. It's trending hard in the paint. Talk about a little catch up with Vice's article on Trump's witchcraft hex, which I already talked to you about. So, without further ado, because I'm busy, I got things to do here, right? I don't know if you know this, but I'm working on this monster analysis of the Raised by Wolves show. If you haven't seen that on HBO Max, is it good? I mean, it was good. It's a fine show. It's probably about 4 hours too long, though, for me, to be honest. And I'll explain that on the show. It might be a twofer. Oh, and by the way, a shout out to my man Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat there. I was watching Showtime. They got a series on the Comedy Store, stand-up Comedy Store down there in Los Angeles, where all the big-time Hollywood celebs are hanging out. And what a fun show that is. What a great show. It's got ups, it's got downs. But my man, episode 2 was great. Sam Tripoli shows up in there. I was like, oh, look at this. Dropping the funnies. Louis C.K. was in there. Bill Burr. They teased with a Joe Rogan controversy. I don't know what episode that's going to pop up. Anyway, if you have Showtime, check that out. If you don't have Showtime, go get it for the Comedy Store. It's a good show. If you like stand-up comedy, which I do. The BBMAs, the Billboard Music Awards, what happened there? Well, not a whole lot, really, to be honest. Another one of these weird award shows with no audience. Billie Eilish, she was scooping them up, of course. Those two dudes from, I don't get the YouTube reaction videos, but people love them, whatever. But the two guys who do they're like one of the more popular ones. They were part-time hosts with Kelly Clarkson. It was very awkward, very strange, very weird. And then Post Malone did a performance. It looked like it was at the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. Could be wrong. I don't know. I could have Google searched it. Could have DuckDuckGoed searched it, but I didn't. Like I said, refer to my previous note about I'm busy. I'm busy researching the cult of Mithras, and oh, dear. But it's important because this Raised by Wolves show is showing us the future. And I'm worried. I'm worried about the future, right? That's what anxiety is. Anxiety is worried about the future. Depression is worried about the past. That's why you got to get on that BetterHelp app. BetterHelp.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Get 10% off. What else do we got? Oh, and in case you don't know, if you're on the Patreon feed listening to this, you don't hear my plugs. I got a sponsor for the show, BetterHelp. H-E-L-P, BetterHelp. So if you go to BetterHelp.com/IlluminatiWatcher, you will get a little discount on your counseling. So you don't have anxiety about the future like me. Anyway, where were we? Okay, yeah, Brandy showed up. Singer Brandy showed up wearing some derelict. I don't know what it was. It looked like she crawled out of the dumpster with it. Then some Latino group was dropping this reggaeton heat. It was pretty good. I'm going to butcher this. Yo Piero Sola. I'm trying to learn Spanish, by the way. Because I want to do... This is crazy. This is reaching for the brass ring here. I want to do a version of the show in Spanish. Because I figure there's got to be millions of people out there that don't speak English that do speak Spanish. I could be way wrong with that. Could be wrong. But I'm learning it, you know. Un poco. Un poco. Means a little. We're learning a little. Then Doja Cat was on there on Twitter. They were hating on Doja Cat because why not? They're obsessed with her level of blackness. They're obsessed with it. They can't handle it. If you didn't follow it, the drama of that, like if you're a person that has any kind of life whatsoever, they say she doesn't own it. I don't know. Don't ask me. It's a whole thing. But she was up there doing the Charleston dance. It triggered a lot of folks. A lot of folks were losing it. Couldn't handle it. Then Cher showed up. They dug Cher up for another appearance. Stretched her face back. I'm being mean. That's not... You know what? That's not... Forget it. Scratch that. It's not the positive vibes that I'm always wanting for 2021. Cher, she has some great tracks. Great tracks. And, you know, God bless her. I don't know how old she is. She looks great for her age. Way better than I'm going to look at that age, I can tell you that. She looks fantastic. But they dug Cher up for another, I don't know, what do you call it? She didn't perform, she just was up there talking. And she introduced Garth Brooks, and Garth Brooks was up there, you know, Garth Brooks, like, he'd been wrangling in too many hot dogs last year as he put on that COVID-19. I didn't listen to it. I acknowledge that I'm a Caucasian male in America, but I don't really listen to Garth Brooks like that. I've heard his 90s stuff though. Some of his 90s stuff's okay. Like, it's pretty good. Like, you know, you won't catch me playing it in my vehicle, but like, it's not bad. I don't really like country music. In fact, I dislike country music greatly. But that, you know, that 90s Garth's pretty good. He did a couple tracks from there. It was fine. Then they replayed a Van Halen performance from, you know, back in simpler times when people stood next to each other in the crowd. But it bugged me because they cut this. They were performing Panama. And this is where my whiteness comes through, because I do love me some Van Halen Panama. And but they cut it right before the best part. When when they break it down, when David Lee Roth's like, I can't even do it. I reach down between my legs, ease the seat back. I don't know why that's my favorite part of the song. And they cut it right before. I was like, God dang it. This is the best part of the whole damn night. Made me sit here and watch Kelly Clarkson for 8 hours. Then, what I did find curious, if you want to talk Illuminate Confirmed, because I know you do, the second to last presentation was top Christian artist. Can you believe that? Now, I don't listen to Christian music either, but I was shocked by that. I thought that was very curious. On top of none of the, you know, typical Illuminati symbolism that we see in these kinds of events, I thought that was very odd. It was the second to last award, right before the top artist of the night, which was the last award, which was my man Post Malone. Shout out Post Malone. And, oh man, I don't know if you watched this. It was so awkward. There was no crowd, of course. And Kelly Clarkson and Post Malone have a little dialogue, a little banter. And they're trying. God bless them, they're trying. But, oh boy, what a painful award show that was. Moving on to Cardi B. Moving on to real Illuminate Confirm. I posted on the Instagram. She was on the cover of Elle magazine. And what was she doing on the cover of Elle magazine? Well, she was doing the symbolism of the all-seeing eye, where she emphasizes one eye over the other, which I believe, oh, I gotta look it up on my own Instagram. I already forgot. I believe it was the left eye, because you got the eye of Horus and you got the eye of Ra, okay? And no, I'm mistaken. It was her right eye, the eye of Ra. It doesn't really matter, right? It's the all-seeing eye, the eye of Ra. But she's doing it with the V, which is a peculiar offshoot. Usually they'll put like a circle around their eye, or they'll cover one eye. This is the V, the Nodens. It's the idea, and it goes back to some crazy ideas about Nodens. If you looked at my V for Vendetta analysis that we did, we talked about this. And the V is the peace sign, right? And that's what Winston Churchill utilized, because as the story goes, Aleister Crowley was employed for his occult understanding of the world through Churchill, through the intelligence agencies. And Churchill was like, how do I fight Hitler? And he said, well, you got to combat his evocation of the, now I got it all backwards. Was it the solar powers? Anyway, you got to fight Hitler's powers, and you got to do a symbol to evoke Nodens from the underworld. And that's where the peace sign came from. That's the story, right? It was to combat the fascist powers. It was the first symbol of Antifa, if you can believe that. The first symbol of anti-fascism was the V. And you see this in the tarot with the Hierophant card. It's the fifth card of the deck, you know, because V in Roman numerals is the number 5. And the Hierophant, that's the priest, the one that exposes the esoteric wisdom to the masses. It's also akin to the devil. That's what Eliphas Levi says. So yeah, it's got all this sort of charged symbolism ideas behind it. And we see her on the cover of Elle magazine doing it, which I thought was very curious. And she also has black and white nails, if you want to get petty about it. Symbol of duality there, right? You got duality and totality and the idea of embracing the opposites, reconciliation of the opposites. Just like you see on the floor of the Freemasonic lodges. You've heard me talk about the black and white, haven't you? You have. Now, what was curious was I actually took that picture on a Saturday, I believe it was, and I didn't get around to posting it on the Instagram until, I don't know, a week later-ish. And I posted it, and then the very next day, ironically, Cardi B was in hot water for being accused of being in the Illuminati, because she posted a TikTok image or something, and it's a picture of her basically with the devil horns. And she commented, "Stop with the Illuminati shit. It was just costumes for a TikTok video. Damn." And people are, you know, people are calling out celebrities that they're in the Illuminati. And like I always say, they're not in the Illuminati, right? They're tools for the Illuminati. Maybe they sign the Faustian pact, where they get the fame and the glory and the riches in exchange for their soul, and they have to do these symbols. That's the theory that I subscribe to. I don't believe they're in the Illuminati. You know this. Why are we talking about this? You already know this about me. Let's keep it moving. Mike Pence. He was at the debates in Utah with, how do you pronounce her name? Not Kamala Harris. Kamala. Kamala Harris? Is that right? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares? And the fly was the all-star of the night. The fly showed up and sat on Pence's rubber head on his white helmet there. Is this guy the weirdest guy ever? I think he's the Antichrist. I think they're worried about it. I think Trump's like the entryway to the real Antichrist. This guy freaks me out. And, yeah, so this fly was apparently, I didn't watch the debates, I don't care. And the fly was apparently, you know, this black fly on his white silver hair stood out like a sore thumb, and apparently it chilled out for a while. Now, the fly, and let's refer back to a previous work. I did a full analysis on the first season of Westworld, which I would argue will be on par with this Raised by Wolves analysis that I'm going to be doing. A lot to unpack in this series. In fact, here's the problem with Raised by Wolves. I went through and watched it, took a ton of notes, doing some research to try to understand more so I can give you some good information. And the problem I'm finding the conclusion that I've got to come to is that I think I have to rewatch this series again. And boy, do I not want to do that. I am not interested in sitting through it again. Not that it was terrible. It wasn't bad. It was just, it drug on. Like the story, I was like, wrap it up, dude. Move this story along. Carve 4 hours out of this damn thing and let me live my life. As you'll hear me complain about when I do the analysis. But anyway, you might be waiting a little longer, another week. But that's good. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. Maybe you can start hacking through it. If not, I'll hold your hand with it. And if you're, and I always try to give you my advice on this show, on the series, like, should you watch it before we talk about it? You know, I'm indifferent to it. If you liked Ridley Scott's Prometheus, okay, here's the test. If you've seen the Alien films, which Alien film is the best? Do you like Alien or Aliens, the sequel? And if you're a person that likes Alien better, you might like Raised by Wolves. If you're a person who likes Aliens better, you might not really like it. It might drag too long. That's my best guess. And the show, the first few episodes are great. Then it slows to a screeching halt, in my opinion, for like five episodes, and then it picks up again. So it's like you really got this lull in the middle you got to work through. Anyway, Westworld, The Fly, Mike Pence, rubber hair. Let's go. In Westworld, you see the fly, it shows up multiple times in the show, okay? Because I believe that that show is the Luciferian Enlightenment awakening the transhumanism. And the fly, in terms of symbolism, represents Beelzebub, where, like in the Bible, they have Beelzebub as the Lord of the Flies, right? Some people say it's just one of the demons. But, you know, it's referencing an evil force, Satan. Baal, maybe Moloch. But in Westworld, we talked about it because it purposefully shows up on the show, and it's always crawling towards the eye of the host. Just like we talked about with Cardi B, the symbolism of the all-seeing eye is very important. The all-seeing eye, it represents the opening of the pineal gland. When your eye has been opened, right? The enlightenment. And who opens up the eye? It's Lucifer. It's the evil forces. The adversary. The Luciferian forces. So, yeah, the symbolism of the eye in Westworld is very purposeful. Was it purposeful with the debates? I don't know. Probably not, right? I mean, what are you going to train a fly to land on Mike Pence's dumb head? But and nonetheless, the symbolism remains. Now, what's curious, another tie into Raised by Wolves, I'm just looking at this now and I'm thinking about it. Mike Pence infamously names his wife, he calls his wife Mother? I don't know if they're you, that seems like a red flag to me. But he calls his wife Mother. And ironically, in Raised by Wolves, the female main protagonist, her name is Mother. Interesting idea there. Interesting connection. Anyway, moving on. Elon Musk. Shout out Emily. He tweeted the word Illuminati, spelled N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. A little fun, a little play on the word. And posted the Moloch Mano Cornudo hand gesture around the term. Why? Who knows? This guy's a weirdo. He's got a child that he named Damien. He's got a child that he named after the spy plane from Area 51, didn't he? With Grimes, who's definitely Illuminati confirmed. She's always showing you symbolism of the fallen angel. So, of course, he's part of this agenda, I think. So, he's apparently been looking into it. Hopefully, he hasn't listened to my show, because I'm pretty hard on the guy. And apparently, he was also saying that UFOs weren't real. Which is a curious statement. Because it seems like a guy like him would be all about that alien action. Speaking of alien action, let's get into some alien news. The founder of Prometheus Entertainment, the entertainment industry that gives you ancient aliens, has died. Kevin Burns. I don't have much else. That's it. He died. Apparently, he was into all those shows. Because Prometheus Entertainment had several of these sort of new age granola alien type shows. Now he's dead. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Guy who's been accused of sexual improprieties. And I don't know. Is he a full on, town rapist? I don't know about that. But, these nerds. Here's the thing with nerds. And I can say this because I went to college with nerds, worked with nerds a long time. They're not good with the ladies, okay? They are very confused on the boundaries. Very confused on how to talk to a woman. And it could just be that. It could be Neil deGrasse Tyson gets a little bit of fame under his belt. Gets a little bit of that nerd cockiness. And he oversteps his boundaries, which, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. You can't do it, buddy. But he's, the mainstream media's sweetheart. So they put that under the rug. And this was in the middle of the big Me Too stuff where they were calling everybody out. Neil deGrasse Tyson got a pass. Anyhow, I like to make sure people understand that and people know that because I don't trust the dude. I really don't. I know that's not a popular opinion. A lot of people love the guy. You can miss me with that shit. I don't trust his ass. But he told all the Comic-Con nerds at a virtual Comic-Con that the aliens have already been here. He said it. He's apparently an ancient alien guy.
Possible World airs tonight here on Fox 2. It is a fan favorite, taking viewers on adventures of the imagination. For more on what audiences can expect, we are joined by host Neil deGrasse Tyson. It is not often that I get nervous for an interview, but when you're talking to a famous astrophysicist like you, Neil, I got to say my heart's beating a little bit fast. Let me get right to it. Are there aliens out there and where are they?
So I'm pretty sure they've visited Earth, but they only did it during Comic-Con and nobody noticed. They just blended. That's what I worry. Or they landed in some odd place or during Halloween. If you look at what we're made of, the ingredients of life, and you look around the universe, those ingredients are everywhere. And then you look at how fast Earth went from just organic molecules to self-replicating life relative to how long Earth has been around, it happened fast. And so when you step back, and then we've been inventorying planets orbiting other stars, and just in our little zone that, where we can look, we've got 4,000 exoplanets. You add all this together, you'd be inexcusably egocentric to suggest that we are the only life in the universe.
Trump was also on Fox News talking about the aliens, and they asked him directly if he knows about the UFOs, and typical answer, what did he say? He's like, I'm going to play the clip for you in a minute. He says something to the effect of like, oh, I heard about the UFOs 2 days ago. I'll have to look into that. Like he didn't remember, like they briefed him on UFOs existing, and he's like, shoot, what did they say about that? I don't remember. And he is quite the politician, turns out, right? Not answering any questions. But then he immediately, well, and here's what's curious about the statement, besides the fact that he didn't remember if they told him about UFOs or not, he immediately segues over to the military, which this is precisely what Dr. Stephen Greer warned about in Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. If you listen to my analysis on that, which I advise, I think it's a pretty good one, you'll hear how, you know, Greer says, like, look, they're going to try to tell us that these aliens are hostile, but it's not true. If they wanted to burn this whole place to the ground, they would have done it by now. And the problem is that they're going to take all this money and funnel it into, you know, the industrial complex and the national security state and spy on us some more and build more weapons of mass destruction. That's the kind of like the Stephen Greer angle on that. And I don't know if he's entirely wrong. I mean, it kind of makes sense. But they're already laying the foundations for the thing that Stephen Greer warned you about.
The president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, on the telephone. Mr. President, thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
I've got to ask you this final question. Mr. President, I want to end on a lighter note, a mysterious subject, if you will. Can you explain why the Department of Defense has set up a UFO tax force? Here's what I've got from The Guardian. The U.S. Department of Defense has formed a new body to investigate what it calls unidentified aerial phenomena to monitor reported sightings of what most people call UFOs. Mr. President, as we wrap up here, are there UFOs?
Well, I'm going to have to check on that. I mean, I've heard that. I heard that 2 days ago, so I'll check on that. I'll take a good, strong look at that. But I will tell you this. We now have created a military, the likes of which we've never had before, in terms of equipment, the equipment that we have, the weapons that we have, and hopefully, hope to God, we never have to use them. But we have created a military, the likes of which nobody has ever had. Russia, China, they're all envious of what we've had, all built in the USA. We've rebuilt it, $2.5 trillion. As far as the other question, I'll check on it. I heard about it 2 days ago, actually.
That is fascinating.
NASA's thinking about probing Venus. They want to probe the goddess. The Venus goddess, yes, indeed. From Reuters, I'll just read to you because it gets into some stuff that I don't fully understand. NASA is considering approving by next April up to two planetary science missions from four proposals under review, including one to Venus that scientists involved in the project said could help determine whether or not that planet harbors life. An international research team on Monday described evidence of potential microbes residing in the harshly acidic Venusian clouds, traces of phosphine, a gas that on Earth is produced by bacteria inhabiting oxygen-free environments. It provided strong potential evidence of life beyond Earth. The U.S. Space Agency in February shortlisted four proposed missions that are now being reviewed by a NASA panel, two of which would involve robotic probes to Venus. One of those, called Da Vinci Plus, would send a probe into the Venusian atmosphere. Da Vinci is the logical one to choose if you're motivated in part by wanting to follow this up, because the way to follow this up is to actually go there and see what's going on in the atmosphere. So again, we talked, this splashed the news a couple weeks back, that they think there might be life on Venus. Because, see, they're trying to plant the seeds that alien life could exist. And then, according to which theory you want to believe, then they want to build up the massive weapons in space to have a big intergalactic war, or maybe a Project Bluebeam to convince us to have a one-world global government, or usher in the Antichrist religion. All these options are possible. Let's talk about the Vice article here. Shout out to Joe and the Patreon team. Shout out to the whole Patreon team, by the way. I've been reading through comments. Very good discussions happening in the comments threads. But there was, I talked to you about the witch hex when Trump got sick with COVID, if that happened. Because I'm from the perception that they're saying, the official story is like he got it and like 2 days later he's fine. Which, I don't know if that jives. I mean, he's in the high risk category though. A male over 70, not in good health, consumes fast food. Like, he's in the high-risk category. High-stress job. The man's got a high-stress job. If anyone was going to not make this through thing in 2 days, it would be that guy, right? But maybe there's something to it we don't know, right? Like, they say maybe the people with blood type O handle it better. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't know about COVID. But the official story is he got over in, like, 2 days and, you know... What's curious to me is like, okay, so either he never had it. That's one option. And this was all like a ploy. Because if you recall, the first debate concluded and it didn't look so good for him, is what they said. And there was something else going on in the controversy, the politics spectrum of controversy. I forget what it was, but they immediately stopped talking about it because everyone was like, holy crap, the president's got COVID. So option one is that he never had it. This was a distraction to get people off of some negative publicity. Number two is he did catch it. And they gave him some treatment that the masses apparently are not getting it. Which, you know, he's a president of the United States. Of course he's going to get the best treatment. So, like, how big of a conspiracy is that? But it just goes to show, like... And this is what brings me back to... My man who's on the anti-masks, because you know me, I'm on team mask. I wear the mask. Does it help? I don't know. It might help a little bit. Maybe. And I'm all about number one. I'm trying to protect myself, right? But my man on the anti-mask sentiment, which I can support, says, you know, since when did these powers that be, since when have they been interested in your health? And this is just more support for that, right? Because you'll recall, since day one, it's been, you know, they treat the masses like we're all the same, right? But since day one, there hasn't been one talk about like, hey, you know, you need to get your immune system fired up. You need to get healthy. You got to lose a few pounds. You got to stop eating fast food. You got to stop drinking sodas. None of that. You got to start taking vitamins. You got to get a little sun. None of that. Nothing. It's always been masks and vaccines. Like, are you kidding me, man? And that's one of the reasons why this country is being devastated by it so hard, is because there's a lot of unhealthy folks out there because our diet is very unhealthy. GMOs, fast food, soda, alcohols, lots of alcohols being consumed. So yeah, that's what, you know, gets me on the anti-mask side of things. I get a little fired up. But, you know, ultimately, it's like, hey, if it gives me even a 5% greater chance of not getting some weirdo Chinese lab disease, I'll take it. I don't want it. Anyway, back to the witch hex, right? So anyways, I talked about how the witches have been doing hexes against Trump for years now. And I was like, could it be? I mean, because the COVID thing, the diagnosis came out in the first full moon of October. There's going to be a second one on Samhain, by the way, on Halloween. Something big's going to happen. I don't know what. I mean, look at all the energy being harnessed. Second full moon on Samhain, 3 days before the most controversial, biggest election of all time. that Lord knows what's going to happen after the election. Because no matter who wins, there's going to be protests. There's going to be arguments about this. Anyway, so Vice came around to finally writing an article about it. I mean, your boy here, I was on top of it from day one, if you recall. Anyway, Vice finally wrote an article about it, and they had some interesting things to say. Let's read from their article. The moon itself played a role in the symbolism that made October 1 feel particularly witchy. The president announced his positive test result late on October 1. Why don't they write October 1st? Anyway, October 1, which is a full moon, and also the full moon closest to the autumn equinox, known as the harvest moon. She said that while many of the rituals that witches have been doing previously have fallen on the new moon, which symbolizes starting a new chapter or a new beginning, she said that the full moon is more about releasing energies and powers that have been growing throughout the waxing of the moon, now that they have reached their full potential. We have two full months in October, on the first day and the last day, which is rare. The last day happens to be what people call Halloween, which we in the pagan community call Samhain. To Grossman, every month is witchy, but October usually stands out because of Halloween. This October stands out, especially given the full moon situation. I think the symbolism of it starting with a full moon and ending with a full moon also feels really powerful. It's bookended by these two incredible cosmic moments, and so that feels like a big portal for change and transformation as well. End quote. So there you go. I mean, you want a little more that you wanted to go a little deeper into witchcraft? There you go. That's what it is. And yeah, I think it's very curious. I think they are charging up some kind of thing. I don't know what kind of thing. We'll see what happens, right? Now, let's move on and conclude our show with my take on this new UFO documentary called The Phenomenon. It was pretty good. I mean, it depends on your level of knowledge of UFO history. There wasn't a whole lot new in there for me. But if you're new to the UFO stuff, it's pretty good. It sort of encapsulates a lot of the big events, you know, like Roswell and Socorro. So, you know, there's no plot spoilers here, so feel free to listen to my 5-minute spiel on it and then do what you want. I paid $15 for it, I believe, on Amazon. I bought the SD version because I'm thrifty. I'm gazelle focused in 2020 trying to pay these bills off. I didn't need the HD version. Save $5. Oh boy. Why do I let you guys in so far into my psyche? I don't know. Because I love you guys and you love me, right? Is that right? We got a two-way relationship going here? I don't know. But yeah, and here's what I didn't like about it. Here's why I wouldn't recommend you buy it exactly. Because it's mostly like spooky stories. And I don't like spooky stories. It's not my thing. I want to hear some real stuff. Man, it's mostly just spooky stories about UFO crashes and people with experiences. And, you know, it's not my thing. It's not as good as Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. That's a little different, right? But even Close Encounters has a 30-minute spiel of spooky stories. But yeah, they had some... And I'll see if I can grab some shots for you. I suppose I'll put them on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. And I'll try to put them on the show notes for the Patreon people, you know. The Patreon people that don't do the Instagram. I know you're out there. Socorro. There are some cool photos of the imprint left behind from that they show. That was pretty neat. Rockefeller was in there. Lawrence Rockefeller. He wanted to declassify UFOs. And he chose Roswell to declassify it. And I was that curious. Lawrence Rockefeller, all of a sudden out of nowhere, he's involved with disclosing alien life to the planet.
When a young, open-minded president was sworn in, one of America's most highly placed civilians saw a chance for a new government transparency on the phenomenon.
As a means of access to people, to the wonders of nature.
Heir to the power and influence of one of the world's wealthiest families, Lawrence Rockefeller, philanthropist and conservationist, also had a passionate interest in UFOs.
His idea was to approach the president with a plea for making available the data that the government had on the subject.
The first inclination by particularly people in government is, you gotta be kidding me. you want me to risk my career by getting deeply into the rabbit hole of talking about UFOs? And so there's a tremendous resistance.
Rockefeller met with President Clinton's science advisor, Jack Gibbons, at the White House and persuaded him to take action. Rockefeller was then asked to pick a case that the White House should attempt to declassify. He chose the 1947 Roswell incident, noting, quote, "Many are convinced that Roswell marks the beginning of government secrecy about UFOs."
Jack had actually gone to the Air Force, asked then Secretary Widnall, who was the Secretary of the Air Force, to take a look particularly at the records around Roswell, New Mexico.
"Dear Colonel Cavett, the General Accounting Office seeks to fully explain the claim that the U.S. government recovered an alien spacecraft near Roswell, New Mexico in July 1947, and since that time has covered up that fact.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army."
Now, Chris Mellon, he shows up. He's been hot in the UFO thing as of recent. And his button's undone, by the way, in this document. I don't know why they didn't stop him. He's got a button undone in the show. Very weird. Very distracting. It's like having a fly on your head. He says he got UFO videos in a parking lot. Don't ask me. The whole disclosure doesn't make sense to me. This whole thing. I mean, they're reversing 70 years of debunking. Tom DeLonge is all of a sudden buddies with generals and pilots that want to tell him the secrets. You heard my beef about David Fravor, his story on Joe Rogan. I think I wrote about that in my Alien book, which you can get signed copies if you want. I got a bunch of paperbacks sitting in my office waiting for you. Go to the Gumroad, gumroad.com/ICW. Use your Patreon discount code. And then also, you know, President Clinton wanted to know about UFOs, but couldn't. Right? Remember that story? President Bill Clinton was like, "Oh, you know, I want to know about the UFOs," and I dug in and I couldn't find anything, because the story goes that there's people with these secret access, special access programs that have clearances that the president doesn't even have, and like they keep him out of the loop. That's the story. But then a couple years later, Harry Reid, a senator, and John Podesta can get in there and get the job done? That doesn't make any damn sense, does it? So Chris Mellon is on there and says he got some UFO videos in a parking lot. So I'm like, dude, none of this UFO stuff makes any damn sense to me.
Elizondo's colleague, the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, Christopher Mellon, managed to obtain the tapes from the Pentagon and chose the New York Times to break the story.
I received the videos, the now famous videos, in the Pentagon parking lot from a Defense Department official. I still have the originals in the packaging.
This is a case where somebody bent the rules a little bit, and they did so for the larger good, and we're absolutely all better off because of it.
Now, this Chris Mellon guy, you do a Wikipedia search, and he, apparently, he teaches at Yale, Skull and Bones area there, right? But he's a, my phone's going off. He's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in the Clinton and Bush administrations. Formerly served as Staff Director of the United States Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. This guy's plugged in, man. He knows. And he, of course, that last name Mellon is very famous, right? Which he comes from the elites. Well, it comes from big oil money. from Gulf Oil, and banking from Mellon Bank. He, of course, went to Yale. I don't know if he's a bonesman, though. I mean, it's hard to know who's in there, but, you know, on a quick search, he didn't seem like he was. Maybe he's not. I don't know. Yeah, he's the new sweetheart in the UFO community. In fact, he's part of the To the Stars Academy, Tom DeLonge's UFO organization that's very controversial. So yeah, he's the new sweetheart, and you know, he's very plugged into all this stuff. There's big money behind this, I assure you. Is it a deception? That's the big question. And now the best part of the show, and this is where our journey ends, friends. The phenomenon, the final story they talk about is from Zimbabwe, and I hadn't heard this one before. This one was new to me. But there was this crazy landing, and these kids saw aliens get out of a UFO. And this guy John Mack researches. John Mack showed up in my research for UFOs, so he's a big name. And, you know, it's these kids from, it's from 1994. They experience this landing, and they see the alien gets out, and the alien telepathically communicates to them. It says, we're all going to kill Mother Earth, and technology's bad for us, and all this stuff. All this hippie granola stuff. Well, they reassemble these kids. I mean, this is 20 years later. They're adults now. And they're sticking to the story. They're like, yeah, I remember that. That was crazy. So to me, that was a pretty convincing, spooky story. Because at least you got the witnesses there, and like, you know, there were kids. Like, on some level, some kids are more believable. Like, they all have the same story, and then they believe, 20 years later, they still remember it. That's kind of crazy. So, I mean, that was probably the best part of the show. So, you know, check it out if you like. Usually these UFO docs, they're, if you want to catch them when they first drop, you got to pay for it, which I did for you. I did it for you. I did it because, well, I just know the people are listening to me, and they want to know about the latest, greatest. But usually you wait a few weeks, and they're free. Usually. So there you have it. That's the latest and greatest in the world. I'm going to get back into researching the Cult of Mithras and for this big Raised by Wolves show that we're going to do. Because we're not focused on politics and negativity this year, right now. No. Everyone's covering that. We're covering aliens. We're covering Raised by Wolves. We're dropping all the heat, baby. If you want more, I've got the book, right? Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult is on Amazon. You can get the signed paperbacks at the Gumroad store, gumroad.com/IsaacW, like bubblegum. You can get your signed copy there. The Audible book should be on there any day now. Audible's reviewing the audio. It takes them forever. You can get the audio book. I narrated the whole book. You can also get your super soft, official Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture t-shirts with the variant on the back that says, these nerds are going to kill us. Which, you know, your friends will be amazed at how intelligent you are for wearing a shirt like that. They'll say, you know what, you're right. The nerds are going to kill us. I saw they were busting mini black holes at CERN the other day. So, you can get that on the Gumroad too. Check it all out. Use your Patreon discount code. If you're on the Patreon team, you better use that discount code. You better get Gazelle focused and save them dollars. And until next time, my friends, stay woke.